Hello.
Is this thing on? Hard to tell.
Yeah, it's 11:15 a.m. on April the 30th, a Wednesday morning. It is still blowing a gale. And it's cold. God, it's a cold wind. It's coming right out of the north. It's really ugly. My nose is running off my face. My fingers are freezing. 1844 on the first mile. Probably because I wasn't listening to the moving station. I was listening to something else this morning, so I didn't get my little boost from listening to the high power dance numbers. Anyway, 19 minutes. Oh, it's no wonder I'm freezing. Hurry. So, yeah, I spent a lot of yesterday either writing or preparing to write or getting ready to write. One of the things that I ran across yesterday was a guy who seems like he's really earnestly, really, really reputably trying to help self-publishers understand what the self-publishing path is about. And unfortunately, he's got it in his mind that print-on-demand and fantasy press are the same thing. Because apparently he's working with a company that calls itself POD, but the reality is they're not POD. They're a universe. It's a vanity press. It's one of the older and perhaps less scummy vanity presses, but it's still a vanity press. I mean, his own experience, as I've been talking with him, his own experience really underscores the difficulty in the differences between real POD, which is a service, and a vanity press, which doesn't sell printing. It sells all the other stuff that goes around printing. And oh yeah, they'll sell you a copy of your book for $20 more than it's worth. And he can't make any money with those people. And I'm like, really? No kidding. It's because they're not print on demand. They are a vanity press, and you bought into their marketing. But here's what a print-on-demand service looks like. It's a printer. That's like R.R. Donnelly. You pay a setup fee, and then you buy as many books as you want at whatever the production costs are. Now, his take on that is that, well, that's the same as a vanity press. That's the same thing he's doing. But it's not, because the majority of iUniverse's revenues does not come from selling books. It comes from selling services to authors. That makes it a vanity press. Print-on-demand makes most of its money from selling books. So for $50, including the ISBN number, I can put a book on CreateSpace. And then I can buy those copies of that book for basically wholesale, the cost of production. And then I can sell them for whatever I want. The cover price is at $10.95 on most of them. It might be $11.95 on some of the longer ones. But the point is that there's plenty of margin in there at those prices, so that the costs of producing the book, for me, they get chewed up within the first week of actual production. I think I've earned back all of the first two books. Full Share is out, it's in paper. I haven't actually made any announcements about it, so I'm not sure anybody knows. And I'm going to have to fight with Amazon probably to get it linked up to my other versions. But he has it in his head that print on demand and vanity press is the same thing. And trying to explain to him the difference, because I think because it challenges his understanding of reality. He believes that he's been working with print-on-demand. In fact, he's been working with a vanity press it doesn't really matter what they call themselves. It's really easy to pick out print-on-demand. There really are only about 3 print-on-demand companies available in North America. Lulu, which is... Lightning Source International, which is owned by Ingram and is kind of expensive to get set up, but has very good quality, and it's owned by Ingram. And then CreateSpace. Now, that's about it. There aren't any more PODs. There may be companies calling themselves PODs, but they're not PODs. They're not print-on-demands. Now, the reason to go with CreateSpace is A, it's cheap to set up. B, you don't run into out-of-stock problems. Amazon doesn't play games with their own books, because CreateSpace is owned by Amazon. And so, if you publish through LSI, now your books can go out of stock for a couple weeks, while Amazon decides how many they're going to order and make them available in their catalog again. So that's a bit of a problem for indies, where a few books makes a difference, and not being available for a couple of weeks is, that's some lost sales. So yeah, CreateSpace for production work, CreateSpace for creating the paperback. I mean, he spent so much time working with typesetting and with printing and with particularly with offset printing and talking about the challenges of dealing with offset printing. And it's like, dude, yeah, all these are challenges are right, but all those challenges are the reason people use POD. And if you use offset print running, it's hard to get Ingram to stock your books. I made some comment about that's a waste of time to get your books in catalog anyway, because it's the catalog reach is pathetically small. Somebody who's scrambling for every single sale, when every single sale matters, you don't have enough books out. I'm sort of arguing from a state of privilege, because that's how it works for me. It doesn't necessarily how it works for everybody else, but I see people doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And then they come back a couple weeks later, it's not really working, nothing's really helping, how many books do you have? Well, just the one. Duh. You can market that one book till the cows come home. You're not going to get a lot of traction until you get 3 or 4 books out. 5 books out. Not little books, not novellas, not short stories. Books. Yeah, you can do it with novellas, you can do it with shorts, you can do it if you write a lot of shorts. I mean, a lot of shorts. I'm talking 40 shorts, 50 shorts. The problem is you can't sell shorts for the same price you can sell a novel. Even novellas, you can't. People try, people do it all the time, but it isn't working out. People, I appreciate that. Breaking the 100 sales barrier sounds like a good deal to you, but 100 sales is about 299. 100 sales is about $250. $150. That's not gonna pay for anything. That's not writing. That's dabbling. That's playing. Get books out. Get lots of books out. And I know there are people like who are listening to this going, yeah, I've got books out and I'm still not selling. Yeah, yeah. I know who you are. Thanks for the glass invite. But it's the point being that a lot of the people who are really heavily invested in this, how do we market? How do we do this? How do we do self-publishing? Are asking all of the wrong questions. And this one poor sod has all the wrong answers. It's a little bit scary, because here's a guy who's in business, who's in the publishing business, who alleges to be knowledgeable about the publishing industry, and makes a fundamental error in the environment, a fundamental misconception about the environment in which he is a practicing professional. Now, if you're a practicing professional, you're expected to have a certain level of knowledge, of understanding, of of skill and ability in that environment, in that profession, Bunker Post. And by conflating POD and vanity, he really underscores how little he really understands about the process that he claims to be an expert in. And it's troubling. There's something wrong on the internet. I don't know what to do about it. Which is basically my whole rant this morning. It's kind of problematic. So, it's an interesting question. It's interesting difficulty. Some interesting ideas, but I don't know if I'm getting any traction with this guy. So I wonder if this is actually recording. I can't tell because there's no feedback. But the recording level is so small that even when I'm looking at it, I can't tell if the little sine wave indicator is actually moving. In large part because it's too bright out. I can't see the screen too well. So yeah, that's a problem. But I waited today in hopes that A, the wind would go down, B, it would warm up. And it did warm up. It's warmed up 10 degrees. When I got home from taking the kid to school at 7 o'clock, it was 40 degrees and the wind was still blowing a gale. It was impossible. It was ridiculous. It's still ridiculous. But at least it's 50 degrees, so the wind chill's probably only like 30. My nose is stuck running. I got down sheltered from the wind a little bit, so it's a little bit better. I'm going to lose it as soon as I walk around the corner down here, but I'll try to keep my hat on today, keep the microphone from flying off. I did mute the worst of the horrible sounds. There were some really horrendous sounds that came from the mic when the hat blew off and pulled everything away. And even then, it wasn't that great because it got pulled out of the wind deadening foam. So that last minute or so was kind of hard to understand. I left it in, but I don't know how much anybody heard of it. So yes, I'm writing a formula short story. I'll share that. Lester Dent. I'm writing a four-act Lester Dent short story. I'm at like 5,000 words. I only got 1,000 words left, and I still have 2 acts to go. So there's something wrong with what I've got, but I'm going to finish it and then go back through and see how I can make it right. The beauty of this is that it's fun. I need fun. I need some fun. I need some fun writing. This is fun writing. What I'm going to do with it afterwards, I don't know. It's set in the dark side. It's set in the dark side of the deep dark. It's set in the part of the universe where solar clippers exist, but they're not common. Solar clippers exist for a particular reason, and the technology that allows solar clippers to jump is actually available in other formats, but they're not available in other formats in the Golden Age. So on the dark side, we have jump gates. On the dark side, we have pinch points. On the dark side, we have the ability to control traffic and navigation on the basis of the only way to jump from system to system is to use a gate. Unless you happen to have a solar clipper that has a Burleson drive on board. There's a reason for this. that has to do with cost and expense. The also has to do with the Confederated Planets. The Confederated Planets joint committees on everything. And so there's actually a backstory political reason for it. And I might write the backstory and put that on the website, just like I put on the diaspora, the great diaspora that talked about the early days of the Burleson Drive and the mankind's leap into the deep dark. Briefly. Just enough to give people a feel for it. Come on. Get out of the way. This lady's waiting for me. I wait. She starts to go, so I start to walk, and she stops. And I stop, wave her on, and she waves me on. So, just get out of the way. So yeah, here I am in the wind. Clouds are closing back in again. It's really windy. Have I said that yet? It's really windy. Anyway, yeah, so there's a reason that the dark side uses jump gates and the golden age does not. Part of it is, a big part of it is planning. A big part of it is political. Most of it is intentional. Some of it is unintended consequences, but most of it is actually intentional. A lot of the things that people have complained about in the Golden Age are actually intentional. They're not oversights. They're not things that I did by accident. The things that I thought about for a long time, the communications one is particularly that one that keeps cropping up over and over and over and over and over. It's not an accident. It's not laziness. It's intentional. There is a reason for it. So yeah. Tales from the Dark Side. So I don't know how it's gonna work out. I don't know. It's really pulpy. It's really surface. It's really. It's not really shoot 'em up, it's not a lot of fighting in it, but there's like chase scenes and action sequences and plot twists, and they're stupid. I mean, the process itself is just sort of stupid. And yet, once you've got this stupid process done, you're sitting there with this framework, and then the challenge is to come up with a story that fits the framework that isn't stupid. The framework itself is ridiculous. The framework itself is laughable. And yet the challenge to it, the draw for me is the fun part. Yeah, 18 minutes on the backside. So the draw for it, at least at the moment, is the fun. I'm having fun with my keyboard. I'm writing a story that may not mean anything, may not go anywhere, may not do anything. I don't care. I'm having fun writing it, and that's really the whole point. Because if I have more fun writing, you know what? I'm probably going to write more. Whew. I just ducked into the garage. And so I am at the sort of virtual back gate. It's just around the corner. And it's the point where I say tomorrow's another day. With any luck at all, if I don't get blown away, with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.